Meet your good friends and I might drive you around the bend. But I'm sure it's crazy good to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose. But I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Well, it's that time of year again.
I wasn't recording.
Yeah, that's what I asked you.
Okay, look at Jesus, you. Look at the egg on your face. They're calling again, and that's Kelsey Grammer.
It's Kelsey.
Yeah.
It's that time of year again.
It is.
Yes.
Do you hear what is that sound I hear carrying on the wind?
Is it reindeer?
It's sleigh bells.
Okay, yeah.
Which I think are on the reindeer or on the sleigh. I don't know.
Let's think about it. I think they're on the reindeer.
Yeah, and it's a windless night.
Yeah, so that's actually kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we stop the podcast and, like, get in our bunkers?
A gentle but driving snow has started.
Yes.
The windows are frosting over, revealing the warped, twisted faces of doomed souls.
Yes!
Mm-hmm. Christmas geists.
Yeah. Yes. And you throw open the windows and you yell down to the urchin below on the street.
Do we both do that? Should we do it together?
Yes, we get up. We both get up from our shared canopy bed.
Is it okay that I'm wearing my nightgown? Yes. Okay. And I've got a big cap. Yeah.
Pointed caps. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We both run to our own respective windows.
Okay, we don't run to the same.
Throw them open.
Yeah, we hurl them open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine breaks.
Yeah. I can hear the glass shattering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It almost spoils the mood, but then we see the urchin boy below.
I see an
urchin.
I see an urchin. Do you see an urchin?
I see him.
Okay.
And I'm about to shout out, but then I look at you like,
yeah,
you want to take this?
Uh-huh. And then I wink. I do a big winky.
Yeah.
And that's the sound.
Yeah.
Of my big wink, and I say, you there, boy.
Yeah.
What day is it?
Yeah. And he says, it's Christmas Day, sir. And I yell, go get us the fattest Christmas goose you can find, boy. Yeah.
Yes. Tofurky.
And I throw him like $1,000 in shillings because I just have no idea like
how much a shilling is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got all these shillings.
What's a shilling? Like a nickel?
Yeah. A shilling is like a nickel. But it's a lot more adjusted for Dickensian inflation.
Okay. And then he goes and gets us the fattest Christmas goose he can find.
Yeah. And Christmas is here again.
It's Christmas time. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. With his wife.
More to the point.
Yeah. It's Christmas time.
It's Christmas time. It's like December, whatever, 16th.
Sure. I can't remember when this is coming out.
Close enough.
Yeah.
And we decided to treat you and treat ourselves.
Yeah.
Didn't we, Jack?
Yeah, I bought a 7-day a trial to the Hallmark Channel.
Me too.
And then I set a reminder on my calendar that for exactly 7 days from now
to sign up for the annual plan.
Cancel my subscription to the Hallmark Channel. We'll see. It's got 7 days to win me over. So yeah. It's got 6 more days to win me over. So we'll see.
We decided to forego the novel reading this week.
But it's romance.
We wanted to give, yes, the show is romance. We wanted to give all of you a little Christmas treat.
Yeah, and it must be a difficult for you, dear listeners, to be reading these lengthy books one
with
per
us.
Week.
Each with us each week.
So we decided to give you a little respite during this holiday season from that breakneck pace.
Yeah, and we watched a movie on the Hallmark Channel, a Christmas romance movie.
Yeah, and it's a Strange Bedfellows, and I'm Jack.
It's a Strange Bedfellows, and I'm Tanner.
Yeah. And we watched a Christmas movie.
It's a romance podcast. We talk about romance books and we talk about romance movies.
Sometimes.
Well, this time.
Yeah, this time. First time.
And we'll do it more in the future because sometimes we just get lazy.
It's not lazy. We watched the whole thing. I watched it. I took the same amount of
Sometimes we get lazy. I didn't say every time it's laziness.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not laziness every time, but it is laziness sometimes. It's going to be laziness sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah, we know it's a thing. We were used to work at a major media company. We know that Hallmark Christmas romances is a thing.
It's a thing.
A celebrated thing, a thing that people find a lot of joy in.
I didn't look much into this. In fact, I barely looked any into this.
Yeah, but you made me do all the looking into.
I think that this movie was a response to, like, the Hallmark Channel announced all their movies in 2019, and everybody was like, you have literally no LGBT representation in any of your movies. And they were like, this, yeah, the guy's brother is gay.
They're like, you have no people of color or LGBT. And they'll be like, okay, well, well, we can't do anything about the people of color, but here's a gay couple, their secondary character. Tertiary, maybe even.
But we liked it. It was fun.
I liked it. It was fun. Jack and I discussed, there was a movie we wanted to watch, but it turns out Hallmark does this annoying thing called like the 21 Days of Christmas, where they do a new Christmas romance movie every day. And the one we wanted to watch isn't coming out until next week.
Yeah, so but we might watch
it. Might watch it and record about it next week. So I looked up. I said to Google, hey, Google.
Hey, Google. We've been friends for a long time.
And sorry if that activated any of your guys' speakers if you use.
You said you threw open your window and you said, hey, you there, Google.
What's the funniest, most memeable Hallmark Christmas movie that there is?
That's a romance.
That's a romance. And everyone agreed.
Yeah,
that the best one, the zaniest, most memeable, viral Hallmark Christmas romance was called
The Christmas House.
The Christmas House,
and it's a house is alive.
Sequel to Roadhouse.
And yeah, it's a sequel to Roadhouse.
It's tough to see the connections.
It's in the House universe too, with Dr. House.
Yes, the Houseiverse. Yeah.
Yeah.
And House of a Thousand Corpses, that Rob Zombie movie.
Yes.
You remember that one?
I do remember it, yeah. Yeah, they're all tied together, but this one's a Christmas house, so it's mostly nice.
Yeah. I asked Google and they said Christmas House, so we watched it. And it was just a perfectly fine, normal little movie.
I liked it. I quite liked it. I liked it despite myself. I mean, like, I was watching it for the show, so it was like, I didn't like watch it of an evening. I watched it with my notebook and pencil out.
Yeah.
During work hours.
Port.
A small glass of port, which is what I drink when I'm getting serious about work in the morning.
But it's still business hours.
Yeah, it's business hours. Yeah. And the whole time I was like, what am I supposed to be feeling? Because I felt various things. It's like everyone's nice and kind of funny, but it's also
cute.
Like, I think it's like a Norman Rockwell thing, where it's like he's
exactly.
a good painter. He's actually
That's
a
what
good
I was gonna
painter.
Say.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that the Hallmark audience is at least temporarily incapable of like snark or sarcasm or like irony.
Yeah.
You know, I think like the people who enjoy a Hallmark Christmas romance, like for this 1 month a year, they just like they don't have to worry about any of the like ego or anything. Yeah. It's just like I just want to watch something that has
no stakes,
no stakes, like the safest humor in the world.
Yeah.
And just feels good. And everyone's happy at the end. You know?
Yeah.
And I think it's impossible to like meme on these movies because they're just so earnest.
It's so earnest. Unless, and we can get into this, but we'll describe this book first. And it's a movie of a book. It's not a book. It's just a film.
It's called The House of a Thousand Christmases. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's called The House of a Thousand Christmases. Unless the Christmas house is alive and has haunted everyone who lives in it or touches it with it's like overly saccharine Christmas spirit in such a way that like even when they're mad or sad they can't get there.
It sort of lobotomizes them.
Yeah, like they try, they want to be mad, they want to have interpersonal conflict.
It's so tough though.
Yeah,
because everyone's just so like amicable.
It's a fun movie.
And beautiful.
Everyone's beautiful.
Not They're an like, ugly person in that town, except for maybe the magician shop owner.
Yeah.
He's not ugly. He's just like older, you know?
He doesn't look like the other people who are all like, do you work out like 5 hours a day?
Even the like people who are in their 70s.
He just looks like just a normal like, guy. Yeah.
Beautiful people.
The mom is like eternally youthful. But like, I want to say, having criticized the film a little bit, it's pretty funny. It's like it's funny and fun.
It's funny in a way that's like, I'm not laughing, but like, yeah. I get
the
it.
Craft
like,
of the, it
the
is
the main
good.
Guy, and we will describe the book.
Yeah, we must describe the book.
The main guy,
they're all
Mike,
called Jake.
Magnificent Mike.
Yeah,
plays a lawyer on TV whose name is
Clint Handsome.
Yeah. What's his name? Clint Handsome.
Clint Handsome.
And the show is called Handsome Lawyer.
No, it's not called that.
It's literally called that.
No, it's called Handsome Justice, I think.
Oh, it's, yeah, Handsome Justice.
Something like that.
But it's just like, on the surface, it's like, it's not funny. But when you think about it for a second, you're
funny.
Like, oh, you're being like,
you're being quite funny.
Sarcastic.
Yeah.
In this universe where sarcasm doesn't exist, you're being like arch, you know?
The film opens with a parody. Like, well, it's not a parody, but it's his show.
Yeah.
When I first started this movie, I was like, this is going to be a wild ride, because I thought that this was the movie.
It was really bad. But like, really, like, hamming it up, you know? They were, like, doing a, like, jokey, like, we're performing.
Yeah.
And I was like, uh-oh.
Uh-oh, yeah. But it's his show, and it's called Handsome Justice, and he like wins the case, and then he like the judge just dismisses the case out of court because he does a one-liner, and then he's like, "And you are out of order."
Yeah,
and that's the end of it. It's good, but then it's him that he's an actor. And should we describe this one?
Yeah, let's describe it.
But we've talked about this. We're gonna describe. We're not gonna put a timer on it.
Okay.
You and I talked about. Don't act so surprised.
Okay.
You and I talked about this a little bit before because it's in the spirit of the
Welcome
holidays.
To my dark, twisted fantasy.
In the spirit of the holidays, we're going to do No Rules Just Right.
Okay.
We're going to say the whole book, but as fast or slow as we want. We're going to...
Okay.
But by the end of this, and this is why people listen to the show, you won't have to watch the movie.
But you should because it was cute.
It's cute. It was cute.
You'll like it. You'll like it. It'll make you feel good. Cute. It's not
the
long.
Christmas house is alive.
And you say it's a lie.
Alive.
Alive. Okay.
That's what I think. That's my theory. I want to tease this out over the course.
Are you doing
of
the life. Recap now?
Let's recap.
We're just sort of always doing the recap.
We're always already doing the recap.
It's Christmas time.
It's Christmas time. You that
Johnny Handsome.
Yeah.
Whose name is actually Mike.
Clint Handsome.
Whose name is actually Mike.
Jake. Mike. Okay. All right.
His show is wrapped up for the season. He's headed home to his parents' house in Rhinebeck, New York.
Yeah, it's upstate. But the show might get canceled.
The show hasn't been renewed yet.
It hasn't been renewed, even though it is performing at the same level as the Pet Detective show. Which they never go into. Maybe that'll be another Christmas movie.
We see throughout the course of the film that more people recognize him than not.
He has 1.2 million Twitter followers.
And he has 1.2 million
That's established.
Yeah.
So he's pretty famous.
He's like a big celebrity. The show is fairly popular. It's the first season. It's the one.
But this is also like in the Hallmarkiverse.
Okay.
So it's like what is popularity? No, I don't know. You and I are new. We're neophytes in the Hallmarkiverse. So it's like, we don't know what's popular.
The apes hammering at the the monolith.
The monolith. Yeah, exactly. But so maybe we can tease that apart a little bit. Because like, so the scene, the book opens, the movie, I can't say what it is.
It's a product.
It's an object.
You have to sign up for Hallmark.
You've got
now.
To. You have to.
Which is the name of
it's
their...
It's a seven-day free trial. You'll remember.
And then
it's only
$59 a year after that.
That's nothing.
That's the price of a AAA video game. You know? So, and you're going to get a year of entertainment out of a AAA video game? Yeah, right.
I highly doubt it. But so you're in the Hallmarkverse, yep. And the movie opens with the parody that we've described. I mean, his show. And then he goes to a big meeting where he's like, that went well. End of the season. Great season. And his boss slash agent is like, the show might get canceled. And he's like, I don't know why we're doing almost as well as the Pet Detective
the
show.
The Pet Detective
and show. And the question, I guess, is like, in the Hallmarkverse, is like, is that
Ace Ventura
satire? No, I mean, is he like shitting on his show? Like, holy shit, we're not even as good as a show about a pet detective? Or are we in the Hallmarkverse and it's like, that's as good as it fucking gets? Like, they're like,
it's a genuinely good question. I think what we would need to do is put ourselves in, and I hate to sort of like apply any kind of like characterization to someone who I think of as a Hallmark viewer.
Yeah.
And I know that there's a lot
of
Hallmark viewers. That you're, and we're Hallmark viewers. You know? Yeah. I think Hallmark viewers is men, it's women, it's 15-year-olds, it's 25-year-olds, it's 35-year-olds, it's 65-year-olds.
Yeah, it's pets.
But I think for the sake of this thought exercise, let's put ourselves in the place of, say, two 65-year-old women.
Okay, let's just for the sake of this one. You just picked that out of a hat. Okay, great. Okay, do you want to do the role play of it? We get out of our bed.
Yes.
We're both wearing our big nightgowns.
Yeah.
And my name is Martha.
Yeah, and my name is...
Agnes?
I'll come up with my name, thank you.
Sorry, my memory's not what it used to be.
Candy.
Okay, Candy. Let's go throw open the fucking windows.
Okay.
Yep, we had a good night's rest. We had our fucking glasses of Horlicks last night and went to bed at 8:30 p.m. as we always do in our bed.
After Jeopardy.
I'm wearing my nightgown. I've got a fucking funny nightcap.
Yep.
Let's throw open the windows and
see
if
they're... We have a big four-person bed like
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Yeah, we don't talk about the other ladies.
It's four ladies. Okay.
Maud.
I would have assumed it would have been our husbands, but...
maybe. Well, whatever, you know. And we'll see if there are any urchins.
Yeah, but it's not. It's not. Right. There's not.
You now. No, there's
it's
not.
It's nowadays.
It's nowadays.
Yeah.
Okay. Why were we doing this?
Because I want to throw back to your thought exercise, whether or not that. Like, sarcasm exists in the Hallmarkverse.
It can't.
Whether or not the pet detective is a like brutal self-own.
Yeah.
Or if it's like genuinely something he aspires to.
Yeah. He really, and he's like.
And if I am a 65-year-old woman.
Yeah.
Watching this movie. Yeah. Candy. If I'm Candy.
Yeah, which you are.
Watching this movie.
Yeah.
I think that everything else about this movie suggests that sarcasm does not exist, and therefore the Pet Detective show is aspirational.
I like, you know, here's
that's what I want to believe too. I want to believe that his show is good because I like him.
Let me plus that for you.
It's so condescending when you say let me plus that for you.
Why? How? I want to I want
you're saying
it's
like, hey, what you said was okay, but I'm gonna take it to the next level.
No, I wanna add.
My springboard. You're my Yoshi. I'm Mario, and you're Yoshi.
Yeah.
And I just need that little bit of extra distance. I'm gonna hop off your back.
But I will never.
You're gonna plummet.
I will never let you go into the pit. I would never. When I used to watch, when I used to visit my grandma, my dad's mom.
Yeah.
Dorothy.
You called her Dorothy
Shepherd. Dorothy Shepherd.
Hello, Dorothy Shepherd. How are you this week?
When I would visit her, we would watch a lot of British television. And I can't remember the specific thing, but I remember there would always be a time where it's like, well, Ready, Steady, Cook is over. Yep. That was the fucking highlight of
it's
the afternoon. What are we going to do? And then British television would be like, guys, I need you to stick around. It's helicopter pet rescue veterinarians.
That sounds good.
So there's like,
and what are they like? They're
like
paratroopers.
Oh, I love this one.
Yeah.
So that is a fucking thing. It's like pet detective, pet rescue.
It's a genre
for the candy and what's my name, Martha.
Martha
class of and Dorothy.
Yeah.
So, Dot, okay.
We call her.
So now we have progressed past Dot. The first 5 minutes of the
film. She's a bit of a card. Yeah. So then, so he goes home to Ryan Beck to be with his parents.
And something's wrong.
His mom's got a pallor. His mom's like in a funk.
Something's wrong with her. She looks like she's about his age.
He's got a gay brother, and I only say gay because the movie really wants you to focus
look
on
at
the
these
fact
guys.
That he's gay.
Look, please.
Have you ever seen two men kissing before? So yeah, his brother and his brother-in-law.
They're both called Jake.
They're both called Jake.
Yeah.
Are also in town.
They're also in town and they're trying to adopt.
And they're trying to adopt. Yeah. Yep. And there's someone else who's in town, which is
the babe.
The saucy
Andy.
Andy. The amazing Andy.
Amazing Andy.
She recently had a divorce. She's back in Rhinebeck. She's helping her mom out.
Yeah.
She's a real estate agent.
Yeah. And she's got a little sassafras to her.
She's a little sassy, yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's Dad. Just good old lovable Dad.
Good old Dad. Yeah. Dad looks like he's always like about 20 seconds from going on a fishing trip.
Yeah. So Dad's whole thing is like, Mom and Dad are recently retired.
Yeah. But Dad's been retired for a while.
And he's figured out how to navigate it, you know? Like, he's figured out what he's doing.
I don't know what to do. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's revealed throughout the course of the film that they're considering a trial separation.
Yeah.
Moving out of their house.
That's getting ahead of ourselves.
But here's the special thing about their house. It's not just some normal house.
It's not
house
just
in Rhinebeck, New York,
house.
Is it? No.
It's the fucking Christmas house. It's never really explained what that is. it's never explained. So now we come to the portion of our show where we speculate about what the Christmas house is.
Okay. What we're told
in
the film that the Christmas house is when every exterior and interior inch of owned property
is covered in
has
the Christmas
some kind
adjacent
of reference to Christmas on it.
Okay. I missed that. So that's the definition.
It seems to have like some kind of supernatural appeal though. And I think it's related to the old man. Whatever his name is, like
I'm calling him the elf.
The
mummy.
Amazing Jim.
He's called I call him the elf mummy. He's elf called mummy. Marvelous Jim. So
Marvelous Jim.
We're gonna skip ahead. They go to at some point. They go to a magic shop.
Oh no! Slow me down. Slow me down, Daddy.
Okay. You want me to slow
don't
you down?
Don't let me. Don't let me skip ahead.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to where we were. But so there's the magic guy. Put a
his
pin
name,
in
Marvelous
there.
Jim. Just remember that name.
So now we're in the Christmas house, but what is it? What it's a so here's what I think Christmas house is.
Yeah.
It's a world where Christmas is all.
Okay.
If you're in the house, if you're in a if you're adjacent to the house, Christmas past,
even eyeline,
and Christmas present and Christmas future all permeate the universe as you know.
Okay. Right.
And you're trapped in it and you can't be mean. Or sarcastic.
Okay. Why am I trapped?
Because the Christmas house is doing its work on you. It's like...
Oh, it's like...
It's suppressed...
I'm in its thrall.
Think about, like, if you read, like, sci-fi novels where it's like... They
now
have,
it's
like,
sounding like a House of a Thousand Corpses, though, because I think the whole point of that is, like, it's full of booby traps you cannot get out.
This isn't as mean as that. It's more like... Think about any sci-fi you've read where, like... There's something in the air that's like suppressing people's like rage just a little.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. I think so. I want to talk about passive aggressiveness.
Okay.
This is what it's something I've coined. It's called passive aggressiveness.
I like it. I'm curious to hear like what the rules are.
There are a few scenes in this book where the characters have a conversation that can only be described, and I don't want to pull too many clips for this because it's a lot of work, but I think I will try to pull some.
It's a lot of work
this.
The way Jack does it.
Don't I swear to God?
Less work.
I do not want to have
less
this
work
conversation
the way I do
you.
It.
I do not want to have this conversation with you on
but,
air.
when Jack does it, it tends to be pretty slow. Yeah.
I think it only makes sense. I want people to hear this. There are a few scenes in this novel where they like they have a conversation that like if you read the transcript of it, you'd be like, oh fuck, these people are gonna come to blows. But in the context of the book, it's like just watching them, they're like smiling and joking around. The first one that really stuck out at me is Magic Mike,
yeah,
our hero, handsome, what's his name? Justice, handsome Justice.
Yeah.
He like reconnects with Andy, who's this woman from his past who they used to like do a magic show together when they were kids at the Christmas house, which amazing I guess is Andy. Like Amazing Andy, but like they kind of drifted apart.
She's a divorcee. Back. She has a son. His name is Nimble Nick.
His name is Nimble Noah.
Noah.
And that's his magician name. But she's a real estate agent.
Yeah.
And he like kind of he's like surprised to see her in the house. He's like, holy shit, Andy, I haven't thought about you in a long time. Obviously, there's
he's wearing this
still there.
Skin tight.
Yeah. He got his luggage
pajama
lost.
Shirt.
So he has to wear something that makes him look like it's like, wow, your workout
makes him look
too,
like
too much.
The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
And he's embarrassed about it. He like throws on an apron. He's like, oh, sorry, you can see my like thunderous pecs.
he like unsolicitedly makes a. She's like, I'm trying to make it as a real estate agent.
Yeah. 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 He's like, well, guess what? I have 1.2 million followers.
He's like, I have 1.2 million followers on Twitter. And so he like makes a video for her that like kills.
Which is cute. It's nice.
It's actually really cute. He like. He has Noah, her son, in it.
Yeah.
And he's like playing his lawyer character. And he's like, hey, everybody should check out Andy's real estate agency. And then he eats
Rhinebeck, New York.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is not, it's like, that's not a great, like, it's not, you want a micro target with this stuff, but whatever.
Yeah. Right.
He like, then he takes a bite of a Christmas cookie and Noah's like, those are for Santa. And he's like, he turns to him and he's like, yeah, you're right. Sustained. Which is funny. It's a funny moment.
Because he's a lawyer.
But then they have this conversation, and this is passive aggressiveness, where she's like, I can't capture it, so I'll play it. It's at the 41-minute mark.
So, you haven't mentioned the video.
The video? What video?
Come on, the one I posted? How have you not seen it? It has over like 100,000 views.
Oh, yeah, that video. Yeah, it was cute. It would be nice if the face of my business was actually my own.
Okay, I hear that. This was just to get everyone's attention. The next one?
The next one?
We do together.
I have an idea.
Lay it on me. I'm all about collaboration.
How about I have my people call your people if I want your help? Okay?
Okay.
She's like not happy about it.
Yeah, she's pissed about it. She says, next time I'll have my people call your people.
If I want your help, which is like a wild, it's like, but they're like, then they just like laugh it off.
Yeah, it's the world that exists in my head.
Yeah.
Where it's like, everyone understands what I mean and everyone takes it in the spirits it's intended.
Yeah.
And
but
like
I'm
when
mad.
I make a joke.
Yeah.
You know, I want you to be like, oh, that's a joke. He's making a joke. I don't want you to be like,
yeah,
oh, you've insulted me.
Yeah.
You know?
So then there's a second passage that's at the 42-minute mark where Jake, I'm just calling them all Jake. All the guys are called Jake in this movie. They all look like Mike. Jake and they all sound like Jake. Even Mike is a Jake. Okay. But Jake, his brother, says to him,
hey, this is our last Christmas here. I know you got a lot on your mind, but try to be in the moment, okay?
And then he fucking, like, they're, like, having, it's basically a conversation where, you know, whatever, Mike has a lot on his mind, and Jake is, like, trying to calm him down. And then he, like, grabs a fucking, like, heavy Christmas ornament and just, like, fucking wails it at him.
This like, happened in this movie?
Yeah. He, like, but they're all like, ha ha.
Okay.
Ow.
Okay.
Okay.
I played softball. Oh.
Ah, run.
Oh, right. That's the thing. It's like, you describe a thing, and it's like, that sounds pretty
It sounds
dramatic.
Bad, but, like, in the way that the Christmas house makes it come off is, like,
everything
you can't express anger.
Yeah. There's no such thing as anger. There's no such thing as sarcasm. And you know, that's just like what a pool to immerse yourself in for an hour.
I'll share with you one more. At the 49 minute and 40 second mark, Dad, who we've got to get into Dad because he's like, there's something wrong with him.
it seems like that's Mom's complaint too.
He's making tamales with Noah, the son of Andy, from a previous marriage. And he says,
well, you know what they say, Noah.
What?
Here today, going tamale.
There's like a running bit that's like, he says something stupid like that. And then he's like, that's a dad joke. It's lazy writing, frankly.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I know this from having worked in media. Like, you can just say dad joke. And
for
like
a bad joke.
And then like, everyone's like, ha ha ha. But it's still not
it's a bad
funny.
Joke. Right.
Tamale
about it.
Okay. Not that
pretty good. Not a dad joke.
Not really.
This is a dad joke.
But then Andy says the following thing.
Here today, going tamale. Today, tamale.
Okay. It's okay. No, I don't get it either.
Okay.
And everyone's like, ha 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 ha. But it's like fucking rude. It's like,
yeah, that is rude.
It's like super aggressive. Like, I don't get your fucking joke. It feels charged because it's like about my ethnicity and like the way that I've responded to your joke
ethnicity.
Is that I've said I don't get it. And everyone's like, ha ha. But I think it's anyway. I don't want to beat this to death, but like, I think the Christmas house is like keeping them from fully expressing.
Sure.
And there's magic in the movie.
It dulls your mood.
It dulls
your mood. Literally magic in the movie?
Well, there's a question about whether this magic man, who I'm calling the elf mummy, is...
I don't get why you're calling him the elf mummy.
Should we get into it?
There's the Marvelous Jim.
The Marvelous Jim.
He's a magic shop owner. So, Handsome Justice, Mike.
Yeah.
Magic Mike. Yeah. He's a magician. He was a magician growing up. He was a performer.
A performer.
A showman.
Yeah. I mean, just for the... Like, the Christmas house is famous in the neighborhood.
Right.
Because they put up so many lights, but they don't even, like...
It's not that many lights. And also, it's not very impressive.
I don't...
There's, like, all the like, modern Christmas, like, displays where, like, it's in sync with the music.
Yeah.
And you can, like, tune your FM radio as you're driving by to hear, like, Mannheim Steamroller.
Yeah. But like, it's not that.
Christmas house pales in comparison to
that's nothing. It's just like a particularly decorated house. But let me ask you this question. I know that like we've left hanging in the world a lot of questions about this magician. But like, is the Christmas house always the Christmas house?
That's
or only a Christmas?
That seems to be the implication because Marvelous Jim, the mummy elf.
He tries to buy it.
He was interested.
I like
in buying
that you've just trusted me, and you're.
I assume you'll bring me on that journey eventually.
Yeah. Should we take a break and then I'll bring you there?
Yes. But anyway, he buys the house because it's the Christmas house.
He tries to buy the house.
He tries to buy the house,
and he can only buy it. And this is a big reveal. They're trying to sell the Christmas house. Mike and all three Jakes come home.
Yes.
And they're like, I guess they want to do Christmas House again. They haven't done Christmas House for a long time.
For a while, yeah.
But they're like,
the pandemic.
It's important to Mom. Dad is like, it's important they don't mention the pandemic. They think the Christmas House won't let them. They keep wanting to. They keep wanting to say something. But the Christmas House is like, no!
There is no pandemic. It's like WandaVision. They're trapped in like...
Yeah.
They are not Wanda.
Yeah.
They're like the villagers who are trapped in WandaVision.
They're like the villagers. You know what else comes to mind for me is Serenity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Reavers. I guess it's spoilers for Serenity, but my God, you should have seen it by now. The Firefly movie. Like the Reavers, like there are these like people who have gone completely...
Like feral.
Feral. They've gone completely feral. And it's because like the origin of it is that like someone tried to pump like pacifying... chemicals into the air,
right into their atmosphere,
to just like make them not aggressive, and like some people reacted to it where they were just like where they just became like completely crazy.
Your point is that Marvelous Jim is Santa.
Marvelous Jim is Santa.
Was that not your point? The deal had to go through by Christmas.
He's Santa, isn't he?
Ugh. And his little pocket watch ends
he's
up on
Santa.
Then that's the closing shot. It's the stinger. They pull out of Christmas house.
He's very
magical.
There's a
little statue of Santa in the yard, and he's holding the pocket watch that Marvelous Jim has had the whole time.
Oh, I'm so glad. Because you took film theory classes in college.
I've taken a lot of film theory classes.
I completely missed that. But now that you say it, thanks to your film theory classes, I'm
he's Santa.
Half on board that this is Santa.
That's why he wanted to buy Christmas house.
That's why he wanted to buy Christmas house. He makes
an
offer.
I fucking love Christmas.
I love Christmas. It's my thing. And he talks like a fucking D&D dungeon master.
Yeah. Well, and I should just say quickly, while we're talking about Marvelous Jim.
Yeah.
You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender.
I could have this fucking part. You kidding me?
Yeah. You could have
been me.
Part. That could have been you. That could have been you. You could have done it. Let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and I'll say why I think he's called the Elf Mummy.
Okay.
Everybody, it's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Okay, let me just say about this guy. He's called Marvelous Jim. Marvelous Jim. Yeah, and there's a magic wang about him. Like the thing, I don't know if we've hit it hard enough, but like Mike and Andy are back in the day, they used to do a magic show together.
Well, I would say that they did more than a magic show together, Jack. Because at one point they were at a party together and he tried to do magic on her to reveal his love for her.
Yeah, but
she dramatically failed trying to do a big smooch on him because they were under the mistletoe.
Yeah. Yes, sure.
So they were.
So there was magic of
perilously close to being lovers.
Yes, but then they weren't, right. And that was the path not taken. So Mike goes to the magic shop with Noah, her son, and they run into this guy. And there's like clearly like magic in the fucking air, and I don't mean like card trick magic. It's just like feels like there's real.
Midichlorians.
Feels like there's midichlorians. You know, like that special magic, that special Christmas magic that can easily be described by figuring out that there's like certain people have like, you know, like more like bacteria in their blood. And like
it's not bacteria, it's magic. It's midichlorians.
You could call it magic, but like the scientific way of saying it is that like some people just have like a higher count of bacteria in their blood.
Yeah.
And it doesn't in any way.
And that's
take
what
away.
This magic shop is full of.
That's full of that stuff. It's yeah, like in yeah. the air.
It's like nebulized. Yeah.
But so this the guy, and he's like, he's very like, I'm your dungeon master.
Sure. Yeah. He talks in a sort of
welcome, sirs. Welcome to my
British. Yeah.
It's not. He's not
dandy
British.
Way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so he's got this elven vibe too. Like he's got a okay. like a little elf Christmas. He looks like a Christmas elf,
like Saint Nick.
But then there's this darkness.
The ultimate elf.
If you look around the magic shop at the time that they show up, the most prominently featured thing behind them as they do their business with magic, Marvelous Jim, is a open pharaoh's tomb.
Oh, okay. Full size.
Full size open. Pharaoh's tomb. So it
you think
looks,
that's him?
My speculation at the time, I was like, where's all these midichlorians coming from?
Right.
What if he came out of the fucking mummy coffin?
He'd been stewing in those midichlorians for thousands of years.
For thousands of years, yeah.
And you crack it open and you're like, it was booby-trapped because hot steam hissed out at us and melted our flesh. And it's like, no that was midichlorians. No,
that was midichlorians.
That's the buildup of midichlorians.
That's the buildup. And then he's like, I'm going to buy the Christmas house. And like, he knows something. Like,
or am I?
Or am I? And he's like,
he doesn't. Jake ends up buying it.
Okay, that's a spoiler for the end of our show.
Magic Mike.
Which is that we say the end, which is that but the son buys a Christmas house. But like, but let me just finish my thought about this guy.
It's a complex narrative. Look at you. You're bebopping Scotting all over the place.
I'm bebopping all around. But here's my other, like, there's a question in my mind about whether he is Santa Claus, which you have now put with your film 100% theory.
100% confident he is.
It's supposed to be a Santa Claus analog, which really is compelling to me. Mm-hmm. The way I read it, he's evil. Like he at the
why would
at the,
they? It's but Jack, we just spent a half an hour talking about how there is no evil in the Hallmarkiverse.
No, yes, but no. Like it's suppressed, right? It's like the re.
Oh, it's
like
it's
the
there,
reavers.
But like we're not even seeing.
You can't
it.
Notice it. You
we're
can't even
so tamped down.
Yeah, when you're in the Christmas house, when you're in the Christmas verse, you like can't. Like you, like something's on the edge of your consciousness that it's not quite right.
You're like, oh, it's it must be this being is possessed with so much like odd energy.
Yeah, that it must
that
be
it,
Santa.
Like, must be Santa.
Yeah,
but no, it's like no, it's something much darker than that.
It's something much darker, and he came out of this mummy's coffin.
It's like Dagon.
So he's like an elf mummy, and he like offers to buy the house, which is like. Perfect, because they're like thinking about getting a divorce, the mom and dad, and he's like, right. I'll fucking seal the deal on your divorce by offering to buy your house. And then at the end of the magic show, at the 57 minute mark, he says the following thing.
Thank you so much. That was absolute Christmas catharsis.
Why would you need Christmas catharsis unless you were evil and you wanted to purge the spirit of Christmas from your fucking system?
So maybe he's not Santa. Maybe he's Krampus.
It's Krampus.
Right?
It's
That's
Krampus.
The evil Santa.
Yeah, and he's been locked in the Pharaoh's tomb.
Except, look at all of the good he did. He came in early, before mom or dad was expecting the house to like have any interest.
Yeah.
He came in and he's like, not only am I interested, I'm ready to buy.
Yeah,
and like,
I want to buy this
put
house.
Like a
and cash only,
on
cash
it.
Only offer, which is a very cash Santa thing offer. To say. Like, I've got like $400,000 in fucking unmarked bills. Just
can
like
I pay you
I'm
in magic
Santa.
Mixies?
Yeah.
But he comes in, he lights a fire under their tushies, doesn't he? He's about to exorcise them from their house.
They're dealing with this issue,
and
where
they're feeling
like,
it.
Daddy is trying. Grandpa is trying to hold on to the house. Because he wants to hold on to his marriage.
He loves it. Yeah.
And then grandma is, I don't totally. She's
clinically depressed.
I don't understand why she wants to leave him. She's very, this is part of passive aggressiveness.
Because he is having too much fun with his buds.
They have this like, can we talk about the Kendricks?
Yeah.
So they have this moment in the novel where like, They have this conversation between, and it's like, again, it's part of passive aggressiveness, right? Where it's like, it feels like something's happening underneath this conversation that I like can't fully understand.
Yeah.
But the grandma and the grandpa are having this conversation, and grandma is like, who should we invite to the Christmas house for Christmas Eve? And grandma's like, why don't we invite the Kendricks? And he's like, oh, the Kendricks moved away like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And she's like,
why didn't you tell me?
She's like, why didn't you fucking tell me the Kendricks moved away? Like, used to tell each other everything.
There's a couple of little red herrings in this video novel, and that's one of them. The other is when Jake comes back to his childhood house for the first time, is in his room.
Yeah.
He's like looking at all, he's like feeling nostalgic. He's like looking at all his like magic posters.
Yeah.
And he finds his dad's glasses and he says, what are dad's glasses doing in here?
Yeah.
And his mom says, oh, he just leaves them around.
Yeah. She's like, fucking pissed. That's passive aggressiveness.
I was like, oh, this is going to be like Alzheimer's. Like, he's losing his memory.
Right.
You know, he forgot to tell her that the Kendricks moved away. He's always misplacing his glasses.
But that's like...
But then it's just like a complete throwaway. Is the implication is that he's sleeping in there?
No, I think what's happening is it's the Hallmark-iverse, it's the Christmas house, it's the uncanny power of the mummy, the elf mummy, where it's
what function does this scene serve where...
I'll tell you.
They find his glasses.
She wanted to say, like, in a non-Christmas house, in just, like, a regular fucking house, the conversation would have been like, he would have been like, what are dad's glasses doing here? And she would have been like, you tell me, bucko. I'm fucking sick and tired of this fucking asshole leaving his fucking glasses around the house. I want a divorce.
He keeps buying glasses. He keeps buying them because he keeps losing them.
Something's horribly wrong. But like, because of the suppressive forces of the spirit of Christmas or the spirit of the elf mummy or whatever it is.
Right.
Like she's just like, oh, she just like lets it go.
Right.
And then it's the same thing with the Kendricks where it's like, it seems like a fight, but it's not. It's like, why are you mad?
But
like,
clearly it's having an impact. Like, she's destroyed.
But they're like pushing against the edges of this Christmas house. They're trying to get out. They're trying to get out, but they can't. And they're like but they've been there, like, for Mike and the two Jakes, like, this is like, they've been away from it. For these two, they've been in this house for like 50 fucking years. So they know that it's driving them crazy. And right. She's realized, like, she's like, I don't know why, but we have to sell the house and go.
We have to get out. Yeah.
We have to get out. And you think they're going to escape. But like the end of the movie is he has like a snow globe that's the Christmas house is in the snow globe. And it's a gift he gives to her. And it's like, oh, great. And that's what fucking Krampus did. Krampus is like,
Krampus mythology.
I mean, this guy, the fucking Jim, Marvelous Jim, is like, withdraws his offer on the house. Now the son can buy it, and you think you're escaping grandma and grandpa, but actually, like, I've given you the spirit of this house in a fucking snow globe. You can take your new place.
Well, and literally, I think literally the last line as it's like fading to credits, and it's been revealed that Magic Mike Jake has purchased the house. You can hear dad yell. There's a lot of ADR in this movie.
Yeah.
But off camera, you can hear dad yell, we can decorate the house forever.
Yeah, exactly. Forever.
So she thought they were out, but then they're shown enjoying some hiking together.
They do have a little montage at the end of the movie. I think, have we said the whole movie?
I think Jake, so. Yeah.
No, we haven't said about the his show.
His show. So it's there's a fight to whether or not they want to renew it for season two. And Jake's agent / boss
is like, you gotta,
I'm in New York.
We have a chance to get it renewed.
We got a Christmas Eve meeting.
You've got to come
with
on
the
Christmas
studio
Eve.
Execs.
But it means that he'll miss the show, the Big Magic show,
the assistant.
Yeah.
Of Noah the Nimble.
Yeah,
and he goes to the meeting and he's like, "Hey guys, I've had a change of heart. I don't care. Like, thank you for giving me the opportunity to do this show. I had a lot of fun with it. I hope you pick it up for season two. But
what matters to me is home.
I have to get on a train back to Rhinebeck.
There's this babe,
and apparently it fucking worked because they're like, not only do we want to renew it for season two, we want to do like an NCIS style spinoff where now you're like a doctor and a lawyer on the mean streets of New York. Which is, gives him all the funds he needs to buy his childhood home and trap his parents forever.
And trap himself, and now he's they're continuing this Christmas miracle.
Like, I think Rhinebeck is nice. You probably. And I are thinking about moving to the Hudson Valley.
Yeah, I'd like that.
I think Rhinebeck is meant to be very nice.
Okay, let's move there together. Let's move there together. Okay. We can have a Christmas house.
We'll do Christmas house. Oh, it's right across the river from Kingston.
Okay, yeah, fine. I'll go move there with you.
It looked pretty charming in this film.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's buy a big fucking house there and decorate it with Christmas lights all year round and only be passive aggressive to each other and then laugh it off.
That sounds nice.
It sounds fucking pretty close. Great.
Pretty close to our relationship.
But actually more physically proximate, which would be nice. Same thing, but more physically proximate, you know?
Yeah. I think I would want to go a little further. Well, here's a town called Tannersville. Should I just move there?
Sure.
I was going to say, I think I want to go a little further south. New Paltz.
New Paltz is nice.
Or Kerhonkshin.
We can't just name upstate New York place. We can't do Zillow tourism.
You don't
want
to do
podcast.
Like look for houses together on Zillow.
No. I mean, I do want to do don't want to do it on our show.
Okay, fine.
I'm like really activated by the idea of getting everything that happens in this movie into people's.
We got it all out. We've done it.
They do a big kiss under the mistletoe. It's sexy.
Oh, and then they do a big kiss under the mistletoe, and they decide to be like
lovers.
Sex lovers.
Yeah,
except,
sex lovers. Yeah.
You know, we on this show,
yeah.
Jack, we mm-hmm. do cover romance books.
Yes,
and romance books,
yeah,
tend to be sexy. Much hornier.
Yeah, I can I stop you right there, and we'll just quickly rate this one on the Mohs scale of hardness. Which is something that we like to do, which is we rate our romance books that we read on how hard it made us. And I can just tell you quite quickly and quite easily that this one is a talc.
I was going to say chalk, maybe.
It's talc.
Which feels like it's like right there with talc,
yeah.
Right?
So, but chalk is a little bit hard. It's not a powder, necessarily.
Yeah. It was a little bit hard. It's a little bit hard. But okay. Magic Mike certainly was handsome.
He's very good looking.
And every now and then he'd sort of do this thing where he turns on his handsome and kind of looks at the camera like, hey, I'm being handsome.
Yeah, I liked him a lot. I weirdly liked him a lot.
Amazing Andy was a beautiful woman.
You know,
honestly, even mom was like, hottie boom body.
This is a weird thing to say. And you can cut it if you want to, but you can't because I edit the episodes.
You can cut it if you want to.
But he reminded me of this guy that I was on a TV show called America's Next Cat Star.
Yes.
And the guy who was the host of it, who was like way more famous than me, but still like not that famous.
Yeah. Should I figure out what his name is?
He was great. I really liked him. And I think he's gone on to be in like a lot of commercials and stuff. He was a very likable person.
What's it called? The Next American Cat Star?
America's Next Cat Star. It was on the Discovery Channel.
Yes.
He was a lovely guy.
Starring Andrea Arden.
Yeah.
John Fulton.
John Fulton is his name.
Julie Klausner and Jack Shepard.
Yeah. It was John Fulton. He reminded me of that guy just in terms of his energy, where it's like, I don't know, just like game for whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, I can't remember why I'm saying that, but he was nice. He seemed nice. I liked him.
He does seem nice. I'm looking at a picture of him right now.
Yeah. But you were saying something. So we've agreed that this... This novel made you a little bit hard.
Yes. It made us as hard as a lot of like soft chalks.
For me, it was a powder. For you, it was something that like you could press it up against a chalkboard and it's like there's some give to it. Yeah.
But it wasn't horny.
No, it's not horny at all.
The most intense sort of like sexual action that happens in this film is
big kiss under the mistletoe.
They do a big kiss.
Yeah.
And like a compelled kiss. It's not even like that was their choice.
Santa made them do it. Yeah, the fucking elf mummy like emerged from his midichlorian infested fucking coffin and was like,
<It's> like
now you're
the
in
tank.
The Christmas house, so you play by my fucking rules, motherfuckers. Yeah.
So I thought maybe we could horny it up a little bit.
Let's horny it up. It's a segment
the tricky
we like
part
to do.
With doing two lewd dudes.
Yeah. And so we'll just say what it is. Segment. It's called Two Lewd Dudes. Yeah. And we'll just quickly horny this movie.
Problem is, we don't have a text to go off of. And as I said to Jack before we started recording, I was like, should we do two lewd dudes? He's like, yeah, why wouldn't we? I'd be like, well, there's without any, like, text, it's just doing, like, sexual role play together.
Yeah, that's true. But I think I can pretty quickly solve this. I don't know how long the segment's going to be, but here's a note. Instead of kissing under the mistletoe, they fuck under the mistletoe.
Porking. Yeah. They're doing porking under there. Ooh, you know, be a little spicy.
Yeah.
At some point in the film, they're, Magic Mike and Amazing Andy are Noah the Nimble's assistants.
Yeah, that's her kid.
They both get put into a tomb.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Together.
Yeah.
It's like a trick thing where on the other side of the tomb is like there's a rotating door within the tomb, and on the other side of the tomb is Santa.
Yeah.
And magic Noah the Nimble's magic trick. He's like, "Hey, these two go in here and presto cadabra, Santa comes out." What if just to be a little naughty, they fucked in there?
Yeah, okay, now we're talking.
In front of Santa.
That and Santa's like okay.
Santa's like, "I love this holiday," or something like that, you know.
Okay, that's really good. Okay, well I'll add one. Mike's brother Jake and his boyfriend Jake, and I don't know that that's his name, but everyone's kind of Jake. They all look like Jakes in this movie. Yeah. One of the B plots is that they're waiting to hear about whether the adoption papers are going to come through on them adopting a child. It's very sweet.
Yep.
And then at one point, like, they get a phone call and they're like, they like go into the other room to like see whether the adoption comes through, and it's like it did. What if instead of that, of talking about that, they fuck in the other room?
Yeah! This is good. I wonder if there's, like, this feels valuable, you know? Yeah. Like, it feels like there should be some kind of secondary service.
Yeah.
That's, like, it's Hallmark, you know? But instead of just being Hallmark, it's pretty, like...
Explicit. Yeah, it's just pretty explicit.
Pornographic. Yeah,
it's extra. I pay. You know what? Like, I'm gonna get that reminder on my phone that says "cancel free trial of Hallmark." I'll be like, not for this daddy.
This is fertile ground.
Let's see if we can figure out one more.
Yes, I think we can. I kind of want it to be mom and dad.
Yeah, I was thinking the grandpa and the grandma. They at the end, like, they're gonna get a big divorce, and it's very unclear why, except that he didn't tell her that the Kendricks moved away.
So interesting that you call them grandpa and grandma, because they're not grandpas and grandmas.
Well, they are.
They are the age of our parents.
Jake has Jake and Jake have adopted a baby,
but not like it's Chekhov's baby. Like, we haven't seen it yet.
I guess I call them grandma and grandpa because I identify with Magic Mike. And so in that scenario,
you should call mom and dad like me then.
But my mom and my dad are now grandma and grandpa more because I have a child.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, fine.
So they're going to get a big divorce.
Let's see. What do they do in the film? They go on a hike. They could fuck on the hike.
They could fuck on the hike. They go on a hike and they fuck on the hike. That's pretty good. They have a fight in the kitchen. What if instead of having a fight in the kitchen, hear me out on this?
Yeah.
Like, they have a big fight. I can't even remember what it's about, but it's like the closest to a real fight. Instead of that, what if they fucked in the kitchen?
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
She is like jealous and confused because she's a recent retiree. She doesn't know what to do with her time. She feels like she's drifting apart from her husband because she like... He has, like, friends and things to do.
Yeah.
And she doesn't.
Yeah.
So she just kind of ends up sitting at home all the time by herself.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, what are you, like, you don't want me to see the boys?"
Yeah.
At some point he says that, something along those lines. Like,
yeah.
You don't want me to spend time with my friends? What if what he's doing is J.O. Sesh? With the boys.
Okay, yeah, okay. You don't want me to...
What, you don't want me to meet up with my friends and do J.O.'s?
Yeah, okay, that's great. And then there's a montage.
I thought we were pretty progressive here.
Okay, I like that. I guess that's it.
J.O. Sesh is short for...
Jack-off session.
Jack-off session.
Why did I say it?
It's like mutual.
Now I'm on record. Now I'm on the fucking FBI watch list because I said it.
Someone's got a like voice print ID of you saying jack-off session.
They've been waiting. They're like, he finally
said
it.
We got it.
Can I briefly talk to you about the teapot? before we go?
Yeah.
At the 32-minute mark. A
lot of controversy around this teapot.
Grandma is like holding a teapot. And she says, this is not just a teapot. This is a part of our family's history. And it's the most fucked up teapot I've ever seen. It's like the way that works. It's like, are you familiar? Do you remember this? It's
a Santa teapot, right?
It's Santa, but like Santa's head is the.
Is the cap.
It's the cap. So they like pull his fucking head off.
Yeah.
And like one of his arms is the fucking handle.
Right.
So they grab his, Tanner's doing the little teapot for, yeah. So imagine this. One
and
of
his
hands
arm.
Handle. But in his other arm is in this like fucking like salute.
Yeah. Like Roman salute.
Roman salute. So they like rip Santa's head off. And like when the tea is ready and they grab his arm and they like pour the boiling hot water like through his other fucking saluting arm into the tea. It's so fucked. It's scary.
It is fucked. And it creates this moment of tension between grandma and grandpa because it's once again him like his mind, his beautiful mind faltering because he's like, remember when we got this? It was when Mike was about to be born. And she's like, no, it's not. It's when John was about to be born. You fucking imbecile.
Yeah. But they do get back together and they fuck in the woods.
They do fuck in the woods. Yeah. And he invites her to the J.O. sessions.
Yeah. It's really nice.
Which brings an entirely new energy to the J.O. sessions, you know?
Do you want to.
And not in a bad way.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's fine.
In a good way.
It's good. Do you want to do a quick pickup line of the week?
Sure. Are we skipping burns of the week because there weren't any burns in this?
No, I got some burns. I picked
Do you
a
have
burn.
Burns?
Yeah, I got a burn.
Okay.
Let's do a pickup
line
first.
Of the week.
Andy says a bunch of cool stuff. The first thing that Andy says that's cool that I noted down, I was like, why can't I talk like that? It's at the 16-minute and 21-second mark. She says,
hi, come bear and coffee.
That's cool.
Okay. That's
she
it.
She like shows up and she's got lattes. Can you imagine? Yeah. Like, think about, put yourself in her shoes. Like, if you showed up and you had lattes and they're like trying to like pack stuff into the house or whatever. What would you say? You'd be like, hey, guys, I got lattes. But she says.
Here's what I would say. I came to offer a latte help.
Okay. And that's a dad joke?
That's a dad joke.
Yeah, that would not be good. But she
says. But that's better than I come bearing coffee.
It's cool.
Like, I've come to offer a lot of help.
I come bearing coffee. It's like, it's Whedon-esque.
Ugh. It is Whedon-esque. And that's not as good as you think it is.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. But then the 58-minute mark, she says,
on that note, I'm going to have a glass of wine as big as my head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that sexy?
He says,
you want some company?
She's implying that either she drinks a surprising amount of wine or that she's got a very small head.
Tiny head. Well, I've seen her head. It seemed pretty normal-sized. So I think maybe she has a drinking problem. Do you want to do burns?
Yeah, let's do it. The way we do it is we say... did you capture one or not?
Yeah.
I'm carrying you. I've got two.
No. I've got one.
Okay.
53-minute mark.
Okay.
Mike is in his bedroom.
Yeah.
I think he's recently had like some bit of bad news or something on his phone because he's looking sullen.
Yeah.
And his mom shows up in the doorway
mm-hmm.
wearing an adorable pair of reindeer antler.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Like a beret with reindeer antlers on it. And she holds one up, another pair, and says,
ah, today antlers are mandatory.
And he like rolls his eye. And my burn's on him for having to wear this like embarrassing ears and being humiliated.
He's already being humiliated.
Yeah.
His show's about to get canceled. He's got
He's in the lowest low, and she's like, "Wear these fucking ears, you clown."
You gotta now listen, clown. But like the way that it comes out because of passive aggressiveness,
right?
Is like it's cute.
It's cute. It's fun.
But it's not.
It's mandatory.
Yeah.
It's Christmas house.
Wear these like it's literally what cuckolding is.
Yeah.
Literally wear horns.
She's commanding him. She's like
wear horns
has power over him.
Yeah,
and he has to wear like a little cage around his penis too.
He does, yeah, that's Tulu, dude.
All right, what was your burn?
At the 20-minute mark, Noah, the son of Andy, meets Jake number one, who we're calling Mike, the hero of the story, Mike, for the first time. And he says,
"You're on TV. I've seen your show."
And then Mike says,
"Yeah? It's always nice to meet a fan."
And then Noah says,
"Well, said I've seen the show. Not that I like it."
Yeah.
That's funny. Good. That's funny.
That is funny. That's a good burn. And I'm sorry I said there weren't any burns in this, because there actually was, and Jack found it.
There's another burn. It's at the 10 minute and 30 second mark.
Jesus.
Mike says,
"You guys still have those decorations? Some of those have got to be, what, 40 years old?"
And then his brother, Jake, or Jake's boyfriend, I don't know, maybe they're both Jake, says,
"So is your sense of style, but you don't hear us saying anything about it."
Yeah, well, it's pretty good.
That's funny.
Pretty good burn. There's some good burns in this, but it's not really a burn. It's not really focused on burns, because it's too
Christmas,
saccharine and earnest and Christmassy, and we're all under its thrall. And honestly, it was very good.
It was fun. I enjoyed it. It was a pretty fun way to spend an afternoon.
We might be back next week watching sequel, which apparently comes out this year.
I mean, we've only got a few days left in our free trial of Hallmark.
Yeah, we want to get our money's worth, you know?
Well, there's a one you talked about called The Nine Little Kittens of Christmas that I was really amped about.
And that may be coming out before next week, so it's going to be an audible for us, Sex Bugs. It might just be the sequel to this film, or it might just be The Nine Kittens of Christmas.
Yeah, this was
so
fun.
So watch both. Just watch both.
I had fun with this. I like, you know, to go back to where we started with Norman Rockwell, where it's like, as a grown-up, Norman Rockwell's like is very good at drawing.
Yeah,
you know, there's a ethos to it that's like maybe a little much sometimes, but this was like, I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be feeling, but like what I do appear to be feeling is the joyful spirit of Christmas and family.
Right, and it's nice. It feels nice.
It's like it's not nice
for someone like me.
Yeah. I don't get
someone with my moods.
Yeah, with my moods?
It's nice.
Yeah.
So we might be back to watch the sequel next week. Yeah. We might watch The Nine Kittens of Christmas.
Yeah.
I think the sequel to Christmas House 2.
Yeah.
I think I read somewhere that it focuses on Jake and Jake.
I would like that.
And their new little family together.
Okay. And is it sexier?
I certainly hope so.
Yeah.
Because this one wasn't.
Nothing.
I mean, except for all like the J.O. stuff.
I was hard as talc throughout this whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
We're going to leave. I'd like to thank you, Tanner, very much for bearing with me. I'd like to thank all of our listeners for bearing with us. You're the bed pots and the sex bugs, and I hope you like that. And that's where we're at currently with that. I would like to remind everyone you can subscribe to our Patreon. It's patreon.com/BSCC podcast. We have a whole show about the Sweet Valley Twins, and we have another show with all sorts of cool stuff in it. We're currently discussing the Babysitter's Club Netflix show season 2. So check that out, patreon.com/BSCC podcast. You can, of course, join our Facebook group.
Okay.
And must, indeed.
What's it called?
Baby Nation.
Surely something related to romance books. Or the name of our podcast, Strange Bedfellows. What is it again?
It's called Baby Nation.
Okay.
And you can support our show if you want to support us by going to bit.ly/rattlesnakejake and clicking on support. And I'd like to thank everybody who has done that so far.
If you're wondering why it's called that, listen to the fucking Patreon show for once in your fucking life.
For once in your life. We sing the descriptions.
We sing the descriptions, and it's full of Rattlesnake Jake. And I'm not going to go into detail on what that means. Figure it out.
What else? Rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts and recommend it to a friend.
Okay.
And finally, I would like to say that this week we read a novel.
Okay.
The novel that we read was, of course, called The Christmas House.
Okay.
It's a house where it's eternally Christmas.
It's a sequel to Roadhouse.
Yeah, it's a sequel to Roadhouse. It's a sequel to House of a Thousand Corpses.
Patrick Swayze's not in it.
No, he's not. And next week, I think it does sound like, because we've got these 7 days before we have to get out.
Yeah.
We're probably going to be doing another Hallmark,
it's like The Ring,
Christmas movie.
Yeah.
All that remains is for me to say that this week I have, of course, been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
Did you prepare an outro for us this week?
Yes.
Okay.
We can't cancel the Christmas House podcast. It means too much.
We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure as crazy kids will work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, as the evidence shows, my client is not only wrongly accused, but is a victim of corruption at the highest level.
Objection. Your Honor, there is no evidence that any other entities were involved in this case. The defense is purposely attempting to mislead the court.
You're on thin ice, Counselor.
My apologies, Your Honor. Opposing counsel is correct. We couldn't find any proof that my client was framed until we searched his office. Your Honor, my client is innocent.
This case is dismissed, and all charges are dropped.
My name is cleared. And I'll be home in time for Christmas. Thank you, Clint.
You're welcome. And Counselor? You're out of order.